Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yep.
I have something I want to say.
What up?
If you're a regular listener to K100, you've heard us talk about our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. Now, Nick Aldis may be on probation indefinitely, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to supplements and you. Our faithful K100 fans have been proving it time and time again. In fact, Nick and his wife, Mickey James, were at WrestleCon in LA over WrestleMania weekend, and they met several K100 listeners who are now loyal LegacySubs.com customers as well, including this shout-out here to Jay Baca, who was finally able to meet Nick in person and tell him that since he started using Legacy products about 1 year ago, he's lost over 50 pounds and over 10 inches from his waist. Jay was so excited to share his progress that he bought his Legacy products with him to show Nick, and you can see those pictures at the LegacySubs.com Instagram page. Jay is currently using Absolute Men's Wellness Formula, MCT Oil Caps, and Ultimate Test Stack. We want to take a moment to give a shout-out to Jay, and huge congrats on your awesome progress, and shout-out to Nick Aldis and Legacy Sports Nutrition for these amazing results. If you want to transform your body just like Jay, go to LegacySubs.com now and always use the code K100. That's K100. It's the most used code on the site ever. That's a testimony to our listeners. For 10% off your entire order and show your love and support for the show, level up with LegacySupps.com. Legacy Subs.
Yo, go check it out. They got pre-workout stuff. They got stuff to help you improve your memory. They got stuff for recuperation after workouts. What do you use, Joe?
Much like Jay, I also use the Ultimate Test Stack. I've been using that for a few months, and it's really helped when I do the fight camp workouts with energy and recovery, and also, of course, the recovery PM, as we all know, helps you sleep a lot better and you wake up very refreshed. So been recommending this for a long time, and I still do. I mean, it's very, very helpful stuff. It'll make you feel better.
We all use it. It's very effective. There's a reason why they've stayed with us. Our listeners have been buying it, and Jay Baca's proof of its effectiveness. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
I think you could make a case that of all the podcasts out there, and if you look at all the fan bases of all the podcasts, that our fan base might be the most physically fit of all the podcasts. Because if Nick is selling it, like, we're the number one sellers of his products, you would think they're... I mean, you see what wrestling fans look like generally, right, Conan? I mean, that's right. Kind of like, yeah. So we're improving the lives of our listeners one day at a time.
And
what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Next one, Theodore Roberts. Subject is Joe Feeney.
Wait a minute. Unless it's bad. Let me give three kazoos here.
Hey guys, I was just curious. I've listened since episode one. Joe came in around episode 30, and obviously his role in Persona has changed a few times. I like what Joe does a lot, what he adds, how he helps move things along sometimes, or is information you guys don't have. My question is, between working for Conrad, getting on with Jericho, co-hosting with Raven, and so on, did either of you guys see that kind of future for Joe beyond the show? Are you surprised he's gotten these kinds of opportunities, and what is your present opinions on Joe and what he brings to the show? Also for Joe, I've heard you say in the past podcasting was kind of a random accident. How do you feel about where you stand today, and do you have any regrets, and where would you like the whole podcasting thing to lead for you? A job in wrestling? Working with more different shows? I'm teary-eyed because I kind of look at you as a role model, starting with no experience and moving up to where you are today. A lot of aspiring podcasters would love to have the kind of path you've been on. This is from Teddy Roberts from Seattle, Washington.
Let me just say this real quick to see if this is a Joe Feeney burner account. Right.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I need you, Teddy Roberts. I need you, Teddy Roberts, to send me your address because I'm going to send you a male, what do you call these? Drug testing kit. Okay.
There you go.
And I want it back within 2 days because you've got to be whatever the Burning Man man was on.
Joe, what do you see your podcasting future?
What do you want to be like, Joe?
Joe, like,
well, he wants an answer, dude. You got to have some sort of vision.
He's going to have Joe's going to be so famous in podcasting that Joe Rogan's going to appear on his show.
Yeah.
Someday. Right. He's going to get rid of us. Right. He's going to get rid of us. And because we're holding him back or down somehow, and he's going to be the next Joe Rogan. But what do you got, Joe?
I think I'm super comfortable just doing what I'm doing now, which is with you guys and with Raven. I think it's actually the fact that this show has become more and more successful has actually made me kind of lazy, like because I don't have to try to do outside things to make enough money or whatever. So I'm good with this right now. The future, I don't know. I'll probably just keep podcasting until it turns into the next thing, whether it's YouTube shows or whatever, and just see where it goes.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
But we'll see. I mean, where can this go? We're just recording a podcast.
Everybody. I know, right?
Where's the arc on this? Like, you know, it's like
hopefully someday there's some kind of situation that would be as interesting as this is.
Or if we get a Spotify deal, maybe. Get like $1 million deal with Spotify.
There we go.
The next is from Gabriel Constantinescu. The subject is WWE pandering. Oh, boy. You know where this one's going. Hello, K100 crew. Gabriel from Romania here. First of all, thank you for reading my last question. Find it interesting, even though you wrongfully suspended me for claiming Io Sky is the best female worker today.
She is.
Recently, WWE's booked Gunther against Mustafa Ali for the IC title at Night of Champions. It's clear the only reason he's being pushed is because the event is in Saudi Arabia. Even though Ali is not Saudi, he's a devout Muslim. What about the new Indian tag team that just debuted, Indus Shir? Nick Khan just announced a live event in India in September. This can't be coincidence, right? My question is, what do you think of the WWE's tactic of pushing random jobbers who are not over right before an international event because they're ethnic and then abandon them immediately after? Isn't that approach kind of racist? I know us wrestling fans from the third world countries love mainstream stars like Roman, Cena, and Lesnar. Why not just take time to get these guys over first? Thanks. P.S. It was funny to see Conan act surprised that Io was so over in Puerto Rico. Maybe think why they dropped the ball with her in Mexico.
No, let me explain.
You took a shot at your booking there, Conan.
Let me explain something to you, Gabriel.
With Io Sky. Right.
Let me explain something to you, Gabriel. When Io Sky came to AAA, she came with her sister, okay? And she was in the first year of wrestling. She was mega green. There was no way anybody would know if she would be this good. And she and I will double down on this. She is not the best worker in the world today. And she is very good, but she's not the best worker, and she lacks charisma, and don't tell me she doesn't.
Yeah.
As far as this guy saying, like, the only reason Mustafa's being pushed is because the events in Saudi Arabia and stuff, that might be true, but you're watching pro wrestling, where it's always been that way. In the early days, WWE had Bruno for the Italians, had Pedro for the Hispanics, Vince Sr.
Yeah, but I think what he's alluding to, Joe, is that Bruno always was pushed. They didn't push him to go to Italy. And then when they came back, but these guys are pushed. They go to India and then after they forget about him is what he's saying, which has happened.
That's what they did with Jinder. They gave Jinder the big shot, allegedly because they were going to have that tour of India or whatever.
Right. And he actually got over.
There's nothing wrong with this. Okay. You go to Canada, the Canadian wrestlers are over huge. That doesn't mean just because you're doing a 4-5 loop in Canada where they're going to be over huge doesn't mean you're pushing these. You're giving them the belt to go on the tour. It's like just people, ethnic wrestlers in the countries of their ethnicity are usually more over than they are, you know, as opposed to being in the American audience. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just like when you go overseas, the foreign wrestlers are going to be more over. Like, and that's just common sense. Is that that? There's, it's not racist. It's, that's a,
yeah, but
that's
I think, a, no, no, no.
Racist
I think his,
is absurd, you know?
I think his point, yeah, well, it's borderline racist to use somebody just to get on board in his country. And when you come back, you don't use them again. It's like if all of a sudden they gave a push, you know how they're going to Mexico now? They gave a push to Humberto Garza because they're going to Mexico. And then after they came back to Mexico, they never did anything with him again. That is borderline
racist. That's not racist.
Yeah, it is.
That's, you're giving, you're, is. You're literally giving the guy a brief push. Like bury the guy all the time.
Would, I'm not going to argue with you, boy. You're a white guy, so you would fucking know.
It's not
you know,
racist.
So,
it's like
yeah,
it's,
well, it
it's
is.
Absurd
it
to say this, that it's racist. You're to see like, hey, we're going to India. We got an Indian guy. Well, let's push him. They're going to be over huge.
Okay, and then when we come back, we never do anything with him again until we go back to India.
Well, I mean, how many times can you give guys opportunities to get over, and they're not getting over, except when they go to play.
Jinder Mahal got over. Jinder Mahal got over.
Yeah, but then we well, sort of. I mean, we thought
he wasn't. He didn't have bro. He had an incredible heat, and we even said it. We said,
"I'm not
agreeing,
but you can't sit there and tell me that the rest of the people thought this guy was over. Like he was getting a lot of heat for the rest of the internet wrestling community. But oh, he can't
work. Well, if you would have kept pushing him strong, he would have gotten over.
I'm not
but they
that,
stopped
but
it.
But I don't think it's racist. The guy was kind of green in the ring. I mean, you can't sit there saying the guy had no flaws. You know that's
well,
all I'm saying. I just think the racism tab on this is kind of like it's an easy go to. It's like oh don't you think that's racist? No, it's not racist. It's like let's dissect this guy's career. He's not really that over. We tried a bunch of things with him. It's not oh we're going to India. Well, he's going to be over in India.
He's not that over. He was the most. He had the most heat of any fucking heel. How do you can say he's not over? He had excellent. I even said it. I don't like Jinder Mahal, but he's fucking over and he looks great. I think he got on the juice or some shit. He looked incredible. He was tall. He was big. He could speak English. You know, he had it going on, dude.
And he got a push and he was a world champion. It's very difficult for you to tell me that it's racist that they stopped his push when they gave him the belt. It's like, you know, that's
it. But
racist would be people that have just been held down. They've, you know, and because of their race. Okay. But
no. He's saying that he's all right. Well, whatever.
I think it is,
but go ahead, Joe. What?
No, I'm just saying with Zack Ryder, they always did something cool for him in Long Island or New York, but the rest of the year, he wasn't shit really on WWE.
Right.
You know?
They didn't push him. He was over too. Yeah.
Right.
That's
is that racist?
That's way different than what we're talking about.
How? Yeah. What if he was like if he was black? Under completely same circumstances, people say, oh, that's racist. It's like, well, wait a second. You're going to change the skin color of the guy and it's one instance is racist and the other isn't just because of the skin color? You got to show me racism other than like that. If that's the evidence of the racism, that's you got to show me more than that, you know?
We've been years and years and years on the show talking about it, bro. For you to come at me at that angle, it's like, and I don't give a fuck. I'm not bitter. I don't give a fuck. You've had all the privileges in the judicial system, in the law, in the fucking legislative, and everything. It's always been a white-owned, white-controlled thing. And so anytime anybody brings anything up, it's, oh, no, that's not racist. That's not racist. It isn't racist to you because you've never really felt racism. Have you?
No, but I've seen racism. I've seen you don't have to be a certain color to see racism where it exists. Perfect example. Next mailbag question about Booker T. Would you say Booker T's career has been mired by racism, or did Booker T get over on his merit? Is Booker T a better
Booker T a
better performer than Mustafa Ali based on skill level, interviews and stuff? Would you say over the course of like if you had the two of them? At these points in career, would you okay?
Booker and Mustafa, I would pick Booker.
Booker,
okay,
sure.
because of his talent. It's like some guys are just not as talented, don't have that it factor, and like sometimes it's like,
bro, he's one of the very few guys that at that time got over as an African American, because I can tell you, bro, I talk to a lot of Latinos and blacks, and they used to tell me that back in the day, and of course you're gonna say, oh yeah, where's the proof? They told me that's proof enough for me that promoters would always say, hey, you know, they would consider a black guy or a Latino as a gimmick match, and they only had one per territory.
Well, how okay? long ago is that?
That was before our time, right? Okay. Before our time.
I'm not going to okay? disagree with that.
When I first came into the fucking business, I remember the first day I got in there, there was this referee, I forgot his fucking name, Rocky King was his name. Yeah. Rocky King, and fucking he had told me that Ric Flair had said some stuff about him that was derogatory, and Michael Hayes had said some stuff about, and I think he either punched Michael Hayes or he got in his face and he ended up getting fired the same day I got hired, you mm-hmm. know? And so, bro, there's always been racial bullshit. You can't tell me no.
Here's the next. Well, we could argue that another day. Next is from John
Kamapa. No, we can't. We could argue that every day, and it's the same. There was a lot of racial bullshit before our time.
A lot more.
There's still some today. Still subtle. It's still subtle, but there's some still today. Not as much as before. Not even half as much as before. But go ahead.
Hey, here's my final thing on this. Mustafa Ali is not that over. They're giving him a push because they're going over India, and he is a Muslim, and he's going to be over in front of a large Muslim crowd. When he comes back, we come back to the States, he's probably not going to get pushed as much, and probably back to square one. But I would just say that racism has nothing to do with that. That's all I would say. I just think it's the fact that they've been pushing this guy and he hadn't got over, and just this is a place where he will be over. I'm questioning whether it's racism.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
You know, spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. And they've already helped you tidy up all the nooks and crannies of your body's basement. But this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation on that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Now, there's a lot of neckbeards in professional wrestling. All right, so make sure you look your best this spring by using the code K100 to get 20% off, plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So for all you neckbeards out there, I know there's some, you know, there are a lot of you, but the ones that have the well-trimmed beard, it's time to tame your mane with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. The sun is peeking back out, which means you'll have to show your face in the daylight again. That's right, you got to get out of the house. So use the kit to make sure your scruff looks award-winning, whether you've got glorious beard flow or some smooth, sleek cheeks. So the kit starts off at the Beard Hedger. It's a waterproof cordless trimmer with a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths. That's 20 lengths. That's a lot, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of add-ons. Like, you know how you have all those guards and you have to keep them in your drawer and they're lying all over the place? You know, it's funny, too, because my cats steal the guards.
Right.
And go and play with them. Like, I'll come home and I got the guards of my my beard trimmer, Beard Hedger, are on the steps, are on my trimmers, right? Yeah. Okay, so no more of that with the Beard Hedger. It comes with titanium-coated T-blades that are tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. It's a high-tech piece of art, a travel-size package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor, right? So you don't have to worry about charging all the time. And next to kit is the liquid goods that make you feel good. Start with the beard shampoo and conditioner. You gotta have that. You can't treat your beard like you treat your pubes. That's why the kit is a special shampoo and conditioner specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, it's very key, and replenish your beard's natural oils and promote beard health. It also has this the Manscaped Beard Oil. And the nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine to liven up the look. And then it has the Beard Balm. And it's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oil. So it's kind of like a, you know, like a gel for your beard. It's awesome. So not to mention the Beard Hedger Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts. A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So if you have a beard, or if you want to grow a beard, you got to use this. It's the Beard Hedger. And you can save 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. And if you want to start a beard, you have to get this product.
This is incredible. If you haven't purchased this yet, you'll be happy you did when you do. So get all your grooming needs at manscaped.com. Boom.
It's a hell of a deal. All right, so next is from John Kamapa, subject is Booker T says, hey guys, a few days ago in his podcast, Booker T was talking with the great Brad Gilmore about the potential return of Bray Wyatt to WWE. Booker T said Bray Wyatt's biggest problem is...
Who's Brad Gilmore?
He's the guy that does a podcast with Booker. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Booker T said that Bray Wyatt's biggest problem isn't the character stuff, it's the crowd reactions. It isn't the physical or mental health stuff. He said that Bray Wyatt's biggest problem is the fact that Bray Wyatt simply does not have good matches. Booker said that wrestlers don't want to work with it because it means 2 to 3 month buildup of a match that 9 times out of 10 lets the fans down, and then Wyatt seemingly wants to pass the blame on to others. I know that K100 spoke about how the money is made before the match and drawing fans is more important than the moves done during a match, but I'd love to know what you guys think about Booker T's comments, and can any of you name a good Bray Wyatt match?
He's absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. Bray Wyatt does have kind of weird
bad matches. Where he had a bad match with Randy Orton. He had a bad match. Randy Orton doesn't have bad matches. He had one with him.
He's got that move where he shoots you into the ropes and dives and gives you a body block. Okay, like he hits right. you. He dives at you and hits you. Bro, that doesn't feel good. Okay, so it's like I know guys are looking at that, and that's one of his moves, and they're like saying like, all right, I'll take it. But it's like that's a move that hurts. You know, you're running and diving your 300-pound body into my midsection. It's like, you know.
Bro, it's a shame because if this guy could have really good wrestling matches, and I don't mean 5-star fucking classics. You don't have to have a 5-star classic, but really good matches, he'd probably be one of the biggest names in the industry. You know,
because his gimmicks wrestle like the Undertaker. The Undertaker's gimmick was brawler. He threw a lot of punches. He did the one gimmick thing, the old school thing, and he had the power bomb and the tombstone piledriver.
And look at all and look at
not
Glenn,
a lot of stuff, right?
Glenn, yeah. And look at all the old school wrestlers that weren't that good, but they had a great gimmick, like Abdullah the Butcher, the Sheik, you know?
Right.
Talking about Indian guys, Tiger Jeet Singh. These motherfuckers did nothing, but everything they did, the other guy sold it for them, and they were believable characters, and the people invested in them, but they weren't having great matches. You know, if you're talking about work rate, but the heat was there.
Right. And plus, the problem with Bray Wyatt is, as good as his character stuff is, there is always the dirt sheet community, Mark podcast or something, are always going to have kind of like a negative outlook on how his match is going to be because they're always just assuming it's going to suck. And that's
right.
And that's a black cloud that he has hanging over. So you would think, well, shit, maybe go back down to NXT and go back down to school for a month or two and try to improve your work. You know, I mean, like, I don't know.
What's that? His gimmick is, but not just that. His gimmick shouldn't even be wrestling. His gimmick should be, you know what I'm saying? Like brawling and mauling and, you know, just a whole different, you know.
Right. So next is from Big Rig, and the subject is weight training policies. On January 1st, 2022, Eddie Kingston made a tweet reading, "To all the new gym people starting today, guess what? Let's effing go. Time to change and you got support." Very nice tweet. Except he completely ignored his own advice, failing to alter his physical appearance in any way since then. Do you think it would be beneficial for AEW to institute a weight training policy? Not everyone is needed such a thing, but there are many people in the AEW roster that might be more encouraged to change their appearance if their job was on the line. It is unacceptable in this day and age to remain small. Guys like Adam Cole, Chuck Taylor, and Eddie Kingston would be smart to invest in their bodies, considering how often they were on national television. Thanks. There's no policy to weight training, but everybody should, you know, stay in shape. This is kind of common sense. I mean, the guys that don't, I don't know what else they're doing with their time, you know? Go ahead.
I don't think not to the extent that you'd be fired for it, that, you know, that would trigger your fan base, something fierce and get you heat. But if you think about it, D.I., in our days, when we were kids and we were watching wrestling, and I don't know if Joe experienced this also, all the wrestlers had just average bodies, you know. Superstar Billy Graham stuck out, you know. And so when guys were muscular, they stuck out because there weren't that many. Then Vince probably might have fallen in love with superstar Billy Graham's physique and said, I want everybody to look like this. And then WWE turned everything around and it was a bodybuilder's world. You know, maybe the new generation doesn't give a fuck as far as the wrestlers, but I've always said it, you know, if you have a tan and you fucking look good, people see you in a different light. You know, you don't want to look like the fans. And that seems to be a problem nowadays with a lot of wrestlers where they don't care how they dress or how they look, you know, but you're more marketable, you know, when you look in shape, you know.
What do you think about Adam Cole specifically? Because, I mean, he's had the same. Well, he actually used to be a little heavier, but he's had the same look for basically the last 10 or 12 years or whatever. He's been a big name in NXT and Ring of Honor. Now he's a big name in AEW and he's never changed his look. So I think
that Adam Cole probably thinks this is just, you know, a supposition.
Yeah.
Hey, this got me to the dance. Why fix it if it ain't broke? But you're in the dance in the indies. You're in the major leagues now. And if The Rock dressed like that or looked like that or fucking Dave Bautista. You know, Stone Cold was a whole different thing. He looked like he was in shape. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looked like he could beat your fucking ass.
Yeah, he was.
But jacked. You got to look the part, dude. You know, and Adam Cole, I like that guy as a person and as a performer, but he just needs a tan and he needs a little bit more weight, you know? But
let me give you a perfect example. But this is the problem. That's been the thing that was holding him back in WWE for years. Like, right. That was one of the criticisms of why he never really went to the main roster. But now he's working in a company where Tony doesn't care and he's putting him in the main event.
Right. Well, Vince
Tony does. So now that he's not going to get in shape. I mean, what's the motivation for him to do it now? Tony's using him in a top spot. This is what he's going to look like. So I just think you'd be
more marketable, my man.
I would agree with that. And the funniest thing is,
because he's got everything else, bro. Yeah. The guy's got the looks. The people are with him, you know, with the boom and all that, and fucking he can wrestle. You know, he's got a good look. Everything, bro. He's got it. You know, those two little things. You know.
Next one's from Ramon Sanchez. The subject is Morant and BLM BS again. Good evening, fellas. What are your opinions on rappers and celebrities still using the excuse that John Morant is, quote, just young and making mistakes, unquote? I'm kind of done with the whole you can take the man out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the man BS. It's the second time now with this dude. With all the YouTube videos and documentaries available right in his hands, how does he not learn from those before him that came from the hood, made it, and stayed out? What do you guys think about the 24-year-old Chicago police officer Ariana Preston being killed by four young black teens, shooting their face and neck over robbing her to get money for a barbecue of their own and protecting herself? And why is BLM not saying or protesting anything about it? Did a white person have to do it for them to get involved? Thanks, fellas. Be safe. That's just the climate in this country right now with the media and the BLM stuff and everything. Is that the weird narrative is that they don't – like they think that the race – of a person committing a crime is only relevant in certain instances. The media will literally not report somebody's like the perpetrator is a black person sometimes because of this ridiculous concept that like it will stoke racial tensions. But they don't really have any problem constantly pointing out white people do stuff and everything. So it's like it's a very weird double standard that the media uses. And I guess like white people are a protected group that are allowed to be prosecuted, persecuted against because they're the majority, and you can't, you know, single out minorities. Or I don't know. It's just it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But that's just the way the climate that we have right now. Well, but with John Morant, the guy needs severe punishment. He's making $200 million a year. His conduct is not representative of the privilege you get for making that kind of money.
How hard is it to say, hey, Joe Feeney, I'm giving you $250 million. Please don't do anything that's going to embarrass you or the fucking company. You're the face of Memphis. You're the face of the NBA. You've got these sneaker deals, this water fucking energy water deal that he's got. You know, you're worth millions, and that's cool to hang out with your homies that you grew up with. But, bro, you can't be doing that. I mean, I'm going to give you $250. Please, can you not wave a live handgun on live chat? That's all I'm asking you. Is that too difficult?
Keep your gun concealed if you got a concealed carry permit.
Or have your friend carry it. What are you trying to prove? You're not a gangster. You're a basketball player. You know, so, I mean, that's all on John Morant at this point, especially because if you remember, Glenn, I know you saw it. He sounded very sincere and remorseful when he said, I fucked up, I'm going to make up for it. And he even fucking, what's the guy's name? What's a Silver?
Yeah, Silver? Adam Silver.
Yeah, and he convinced him. So he's probably pissed off too, you know. But let me tell you something about these, because I read that story about the Chicago Utes. They all had criminal records. They were just criminals. You know, one of them had a criminal record when they were like 13 or something. But the lady that they shot was a cop, okay? Now, I didn't hear anything about them robbing her money for a barbecue. I don't know where that came from, but it might be true. But she was driving her personal car, not a cop car, okay? I don't know if she was in uniform or not, or if they even knew she was a cop, or they were just trying to rob her, but they were in a stolen car, okay? And they actually fired at her, and she fired back. And then they just ended up fucking shooting her in the face and killing her. And And it,
imagine that visual picture. You see a woman defending herself in a gunfight against four other people. Imagine how brave you got to be. Like you say, I guess police officers are fed up with shit like that. They're willing to pull the gun like so many times. You know, right. That was like a deal where she was like, you know,
He was asking about why doesn't BLM whatever get involved, because they're mostly about like racially motivated police brutality, right, and violence. They don't give a fuck about black on black crime.
Right. Which is a shame. Right. You know, because the whole concept of Black Lives Matter, and you're like,
that might be that. You know what? Joe, if you could look up the figures, black on black crime might be bigger than black on white or white on black crime.
I think it is. Yeah.
Per capita, it's way bigger. But why isn't that a thing? Well, that's the question. It's like if Black Lives Matter. We have to look at the things that are affecting black lives, which is, okay, you know, police brutality, but gang violence is also another element of right. Gang violence is like, you know, come on,
Glenn,
guys, you know, right.
Glenn, let me tell you, when I was in the Navy, you know, I hadn't gone to a lot of places, maybe Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico. So I didn't have any worldly. And when I got into the Navy, I met these guys from Chicago, and they were all thugs and gangsters. They were telling me about, you know, the El Rookins and the Vice Lords and the Gangster Disciples and all these hand signs and shit. And I was like, well, I didn't grow up like that in Miami. And they have a real big, big gang culture now. But back from like the 30s and the 40s, bro, you know, and these guys look like they probably were gang members, you know?
Mugshots. Yeah, next one's some derby.
Here's the homicide data table. Conan's asking for the info.
Yeah.
This is from the FBI site, but it's 2016. 3,500 white victims of homicide. The offenders were 2,854 white offenders, 533. Okay. So, but here's the one you were looking for. Black homicides, 2870. The race of the offender was black or African American, 2,570 out of 2,870. So only 300 times out of these homicides was it a non-black offender killing the black.
Crimes are the outlier. But most crime, white on white, black on black, Hispanic. Yeah. You know, that's most of the thing. And then the outliers would be interracial crime. And it's like, you know, you just, like I said, it's like the numbers, like the media tries to paint a different narrative than those numbers. They try to make you think that a lot of crime is racial motivated and stuff. When most of the crime is interracial, has nothing to do. It's mostly domestic, you know, domestic issues and stuff. You know, friends argue, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's just,
well, a lot of the complaints the media about the just news,
that the media is just completely race baiting. They because that stuff draws ratings.
Yeah,
right. You know, just like it draws ratings. That's what they try to highlight. So.
What you used to see in the 1980s, 1990s, 2000s was complaints that, well, all you see on the news is minority crimes, black offender, Hispanic offender. People complained about it a lot. So now it's become the opposite, where you can't show that because they think, you know, someone's going to complain. Well, I would rather just have straight up crime stats. Just tell me who's loose in the neighborhood. Don't you know, try to hide it from me. Let me know.
All right. So next one's from Michael. Dude, this is a weird one. This is from Durbin.
Subject okay, is wait baseball. A minute. Before he even says anything.
Durbin and the subject is baseball. Hello, Yeoman Ashenoff. I'm watching this Red Sox versus Padres game right now. Two teams that you rep. Who do you cheer for when they face each other? They're both in second to last place, FYI, just like Joe's Phillies.
Ouch.
And just P.S., the Indy God Matt Cardona and his valet, Steph DeLander in AAA equals big money. Hmm. So he's trying to give you a suggestion on these.
Okay, so let's suspend this guy, right. Joe, for a month. We're not in the Navy. Don't refer to me as Yeoman Ashenoff. And right. You never were. So unless you were a service member, that's out of line.
Right.
Suspend his mailbag privileges, Joe. And I don't believe this is a first offense. So let him think about it for like a month.
And his question was basically just a chance for him to say both your teams stink right now.
Yeah, that's also out of line.
Right. Next one's from Kyle Beaver. And the subject is mailbag. Hello, gentlemen. Hope all is well for yourselves and your families. So I want to ask about Ilio DiPaolo. And if you guys ever went to his restaurant, any stories about his career? I know WCW held some events in his honor. I don't know about his career, but we went to his restaurant when we were in Buffalo. It's good Italian food. Also about Finley and any stories about him. My son was born December 30th. My fiance and I named him Finley. So figure a good story to tell him when he's older about Dave would be great. Stay safe. Also, if you ever reach MVP or there's podcast, gets to let him know. I'd love to get a grappling match with him for High Rollers or Fight to Win, or even your boy Cross. OSS, Kyle B. I don't know. This is a weird email.
Yeah.
I'd never Finley, heard of
Ilya Finley was a cool guy. I mean, I don't know stories. Like, there's nothing noteworthy of Finley's stories. He was just a good guy. Just, you know, whatever.
Well,
this Ilya DePaolo thing was kind of a deep dive, because I mean, I don't know. Had you heard of him as a wrestler before this email?
No,
but when we went to Buffalo.
I knew him because of the restaurant, but yeah, I'm assuming that in the 40s and 50s or 60s, he probably was a huge local star.
Yeah, he wrestled for the NWA title against Pat O'Connor and Lou Thesz for you historians out there.
What year?
1959.
Yeah, so, you know, that's before our time.
Yeah.
So, but he was probably, you know, a big deal in you know, like
Buffalo and Canada, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. And Finley, the funny thing is, the first time I ever heard his name was Eddie Guerrero had come back from a trip from New Japan. And he never said, hey, this guy was tough or that guy was tough or nothing. He never, ever said it. But it really, you know, he goes, man, I met this guy from Ireland. His name is a Finley. He goes, oh, my God, he was so tough and he was stiff. And I was thinking to myself, well, I'm never going to meet this guy because he's going to be in Japan. And then I met him in fucking WCW, you know. Right. And I remember when I was really, really over, because when you're over, you don't have to do as much, right? So he gave me a snap mare and he kicked me in my back. And, bro, I felt like I was paralyzed. And he kicked me again. Yeah. And I was like, fuck.
Those kicks to the back were no joke.
Yeah, and so I very rarely complain, because if you complain, you're like a bitch to the boys.
Right.
And I just said, hey, bro, please don't kick me like that ever again, because it's not necessary. And I thought, if he does it again, he's disrespecting me. You know, I'm going to have to fucking find a gun to kill this guy. But he didn't do it again. But, yeah.
Next is from Oslo Garrison, and the subject is instant flop. So the big AEW announcement of AEW Collision was confirmed last week, and to celebrate, AEW Dynamite pulled a rating that barely passed 800K in front of a crowd that was 40% full. America doesn't care about AEW anymore. Is AEW Collision designed to fail? They started a new TV show on a Saturday, the lowest viewed day of the week, during the summer, the lowest viewed season of the year, on the same day that we'll have UFC fights. Conor McGregor just announced he's back soon. Huge boxing fights, WWE PLEs, premium live event shows, international soccer games, etc. Well, first of all, it doesn't compete with international soccer games, because those are early on Saturday morning. So I honestly think it's not out of the question that Collision could get lower ratings than Rampage. My prediction, AEW Collision starts off with a big number from a great card. Everyone in AEW becomes an unbearably smug asshole on Twitter, then it instantly falls off the next week. What do you guys think? We're pretty clear on this if you listen to our AEW review shows. Bro, I don't know how these – but this is from Warner Brothers Discover, right? They wanted this other show. If they think that these guys' weekly numbers are satisfactory for them to support another show, I'm like, all right.
Well,
fine.
That's exactly what they're thinking, or they wouldn't have given them another show.
I would argue with them, like, why do you think this? Because, bro, they're having attendance problems too, putting people in the seats for these shows.
All right,
like, the numbers are faltering a little bit right now. You're adding content. I just don't. I'd like to know what the thought process was there. What they're seeing that I'm not. You know. So
okay. So, it isn't even devil's advocate. It's just my point of view. I don't think they care about attendance. They care about ratings, right? And for better or for worse, you know, Tony always puts it up there. You know, we were number one tonight or we were number three. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're the top rated show on your night or the third top rated show. That's good. And he's probably giving him, you know, they have Glenn at the end of the day. You know how TV networks are. At the end of the day, they're giving the numbers that they need to survive, or they wouldn't have given him another show.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
Look at all the other content on TNT. It's like if wrestling is one of their higher rated shows, even though their numbers aren't that great compared to others, it's like it's still TNT programming this time. Warner Brothers Discovery, then we want more of these shows because these shows are doing better numbers than other shitty shows we have on.
Yeah. You know? Right, because so they just play repeats of movies and shit. Right. Mostly exactly. What they play now. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, the cable climate's not difficult to compete against right now. There's not a lot of good shows on cable.
There's nothing.
TV,
think about all the ones you could have named 5, 10 years ago. Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Sons of Anarchy, and shit. They were all on at the same time. Dexter.
Yeah. But I don't think what they probably don't realize is it dilutes the product. And the numbers may underwhelm compared to what you think they might do, you know.
Yeah, but everybody's thinking. Content, so, but everybody's thinking the same thing. Right. Tony Khan, I got more money to you know use as I wish, and they're thinking all the ad revenue money that they're going to make. You know.
Yeah, I don't think Collision will do less than Rampage, but I don't think it'll be Dynamite either because you can put whoever you want
There's
on the
no
Saturday
way
night show.
I don't know.
It's a Saturday show, D.I. I don't think it's ever going to beat. People are used to Wednesdays now. You know how that goes. So we'll see. But I don't think it'll lose the Rampage.
All right. Next one's from Brian Dunlop, our resident booker. Subject is Jinder Mahal versus Seth Rollins for the world title inside the Punjabi prison at Superstar Spectacle in India. Hello, K100 crew. I was clowning about the previous Jinder Mahal email. It was one of five directions I wrote on the dirt sheets for the faction following the 2023 draft, and I emailed the silliest one. Bro, you did five directions for Jinder Mahal? But WWE did go with the direction of Indusher squashing jobbers, all written for the prestigious sports Kita. Anyway, that's not what the meat and potatoes of this email. WWE is expected to travel to India to put on the show Superstar Spectacle, premium live event. And of course, WWE will likely utilize their town of Indian heritage specifically for this event. What if WWE brings back the Punjabi prison? Assuming Seth Rollins is the world heavyweight champion by then, what if he defends against Jinder inside the bamboo structure? When we see the rise of the modern-day Maharaja once again. By the way, here's a link to the Sports Keto article if you're interested. I'm absolutely not interested, Brian.
No.
I'm not interested in any of the content in this email.
No, it's one of the worst.
But I will say that would not be.
Ever. Yeah.
But let me just say this. But that would not be a bad idea to have a Punjabi match, whatever, in India.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anything will get over there.
Right. Next is Jared Avey. Jared Avey, who still hasn't apologized.
Apologize, yeah.
Yeah. Subject is apology. And Louis Dangor, who? Greetings, K100 fam. Hope everyone's doing okay. I heard the sadness in Disco's voice yesterday, so everything's right with Double G himself. So here it is, Disco. I am sorry.
Oh, very nice.
I am very sorry that you never just admit the correct name of your Shake Shack. In addition, you got cut and promote the place every single time of the show because you were too ashamed. I heard through my Meltzer-esque Dragon Gate sources that the actual name of your shack is Citizen Kane or Forrest Hump.
Citizen
anyway,
Kane.
Just to ask about this wrestling reporter, and use the term loosely, Louis Dangor. He got in trouble last week. This guy, he used to work for Fightful. I don't know who this guy is.
Okay. Well, it says Give Me Sports is who he works for. I don't know.
He got in trouble last week where some sexual allegations were hurled against him. Not sure if you guys heard of this guy or seen him, but he looks like a 14-year-old. He writes like someone even younger than that. Just curious as to your thoughts on this news and on this four-eyed freak. I don't know who this guy is.
I don't know who he is either. I've just seen some back and forth about him, but I don't know who he is.
He's creating a fake podcast used to get women on camera for the purpose of asking for webcam sex and asking a married colleague for a threesome and more. I don't even know who this guy is, so this does not interest me. So,
me neither. And here's the thing. Listen to this. I actually read this. Let me see. This has heat with, just so you know, the 30th annual Dankaku show sold out weeks in advance. This is Japan with 4,489 paid, which is a big positive for Sanada and Takahashi as headliners. The big surprise was after the win. Are you ready for this, Glenn?
Yeah.
Just five guys, Sanada, Dugi, Yoshinobu, Kanemaru, and Michinoku and Taichi. They're referring to themselves as just five guys. What do you think about that?
Complete copyright infringement. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's copyright infringement.
All right.
Merchandise bonanza.
Yeah. Next is from Isidro Ramirez. Subject is follow-up to jail question. First off, Disco, you're supposed to use my alias, Bill Ding. Thank you for saying my government, and thank you for all-you-can-eat strawberry whipped cream hand jobs you can now get at the back of Sapphires.
Wait a minute.
He spelled Sapphires wrong, so we're going to give him a week suspension.
I don't want to piss him off, though, because he was in jail.
But
quick commentary to Joe. Marvel movies, reality TV shows like Love and Hip Hop, etc., basketball and football were popular. This guy writes terribly too. Roman Reigns is perceived as definitely larger than life star.
He's the guy that
you think he's still writing. Do you think he's writing while he's incarcerated or no?
Yeah, he's the guy that we asked last week to let us know what else was over in jail. That's what he's saying, D.I.
Oh, okay. I was not listening inside the pen, but I definitely miss hearing Conan's kazoo. Hughie Durbin slander in the infamous who? At Feeney's collection of random jobber guests on Wang Bam and Chang's and the Hambone shows, I agree with not over 21 males, but geeks and nerds watching, but the lack of any inciting storylines opening up the second largest promotion show on a national network is a disappointing sight to see for the lifelong fan who may never see a period as hot as the Attitude Era when everyone and their mother was crotch shopping, giving the middle finger, and doing the Wolfpack sign at school and in public. Could just be indicative signs of these next couple of generations to come. Shaking my head. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Okay, this guy didn't have it. Yeah, we're going to suspend him for the Sapphire misspelling and for not having a question in the email.
Bro, did you hear that in WWE? Now, I don't want this to happen, but they might add a third hour to SmackDown, which I would not like. But they're also saying that I think the third hour of Raw or maybe that third hour of SmackDown.
More mature.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Next is from Jeff S. Subject is AEW, CM Punk, and the Dirt Sheets. So here's what I'm wondering. Whatever else he may be, CM Punk is still an employee of AEW. He clearly is testing his name used by certain Weasley effing liars. Sets him off repeatedly, predictably, and with consequences to AEW's business and their booking. So why isn't AEW so much as whispered a threat to do something about it, to find the source of the leaks, to punish anyone found out to be leaking, to cut off reporters who print the leaks? My theory, the person who's responsible for most leaks is Tony Khan. Maybe it's because he can't stop himself from bragging about the new Barbie Dreamhouse his father bought him, or maybe it's because he mistakes himself for being some master manipulator pulling strings behind the scenes. In either case, Tony Khan is the guy who keeps shooting CM Punk in the dick.
I don't believe that.
I
don't believe that at all.
I don't know what's going on.
Bro, let me just tell you, he's not going to want his company to be seen in a negative light, you know?
Right.
So why would he make anyone in his company look bad? I don't believe that's his MO. From what little I know of him, I would say no. And what Barbie Dreamhouse are you talking about? Elaborate. So, do you know about this?
AEW is his big toy house.
Oh, okay.
You know, but yeah, I mean, I would assume, and pretty much it would be confirmed that Tony does talk to Dave. But I think if he has secrets, he can hold them easily. We saw that in Ariel Helwani interview. He's not just going to dump info he doesn't want to give out. You know.
Next is from Chris Cavalier. The subject is question. Hey, now question for Conan at Disco. What is the biggest regret in your career that you wish you could get in a DeLorean and go back in time to change? And who was the one guy in the business you just couldn't stand as a human being, just rubbed you wrong? Thanks, and that's from Big KV Cool, Cav Manning.
Cav Manning.
Oh, this is from Cav.
Cav's in the Discord.
Yeah. Oh, is he really?
Maybe I shouldn't be saying that.
Since I got my new phone, I've been kind of out of the loop on the Discord. So,
yeah.
I'm doing this podcast coming up soon, too.
Cav?
Yeah, Cav, yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Biggest regret? I don't know. Maybe not going to New York when they change over. But it really wasn't, you know, I was making good money to do nothing. So it's not, I don't know if I would. You know, maybe it's a regret that I didn't go to WWE, but it's not something at the time I would have done any different probably. I liked everybody in the bit. There was nobody that just rubbed me the wrong way that I hated or anything. Kind of, you know, you had to work with these people. So you got any comments, Conan?
Well, the only regrets I had is I was too hot-headed, impulsive when I was young. And probably one of the biggest regrets is probably that didn't push harder with Eric, because when I was going to do a deal with Rap-A-Lot Records, and if you know about rap music, that's headed by Jay Prince, and everybody in the hip hop knows who that is. He offered me a record deal and Bischoff wouldn't sign off on it because we were working with Tommy Boy. Plus, I had mega, mega heat with him and I knew it was a no win and I should have fought that more. And as far as guys, we all have guys that we can't stand, right? You know, like for a long time, me and Vampiro couldn't stand each other. Now we're cool. I remember when I first went to Stampede. Do you remember this guy called Steve DeSalvo, Glenn?
Yes.
I remember the name.
I do, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he was a jerk back then. But, yeah, that's basically it.
All right.